Good afternoon.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Governor. Do you sleep at all these days? I mean, it's unbelievable how much work you're doing. I see you. I listen to every word. We play it on WAMC. I listened to every word this morning. I was on my 4 mile walk, and I said, "Well, this is all very interesting. You're handling yourself very well." And then you told the news of Christopher, and I almost fell off my feet. Can you go over that with us again? How did you find out that he had tested positive for the virus?
I'll tell you the truth, Doctor. Happy Doctor's Day, by the way. Yesterday was National Doctor's Day.
Oh, good. Not PhD Day. Go ahead.
Almost not a morning that I don't wake up to some really disturbing situation. So I did his show with him last night. You know, He's on CNN, and I did his show. We talk substance. We also try to lighten it up a little bit because that's our natural way to begin with. You know, we like to tease and have some fun because that's just the way we interact. And I also think it's good now. Everything is so heavy news all day long. If you can make people smile a little bit, lighten it up. So I did a show with him, and we had some fun. I got him pretty good. He was doing the show from the basement in a suit with the handkerchief and the whole thing. And we had some fun back and forth. He tried to set me up. He had a tape of him making sauce, Italian sauce. And he gets my mother on the cell phone. And he's taping it, and my mother doesn't know he's taping it, and he's trying to get my mother to say that she loves him more than me, and he plays the tape on air to set me up on who mom loves more, which is a running joke between us. But we do the show. It's all nice. And he calls me this morning, and he tells me first thing this morning. And look, he is, we know the data, follow the data. He is strong, he's in good shape, he has no underlying illness, he'll be fine. But it's just frightening for everyone, you know, and it's disruptive, and now he's going to be quarantined in his basement for 2 weeks, which is like a imprisonment in your own house. He's got the kids upstairs. But it's all jarring. It's all disruptive. It's all so disconcerting. How the hell did we get here so fast? Mm-hmm. And it's everywhere. And I talked about it in the press conference because I want people to understand, you know, that stay at home, I say it until I'm blue in the face. People just have this attitude that, you know, it doesn't apply to them, you know. They're immune. You're not immune. And Christopher is not immune. And luckily, my mother was at his house.
Yeah.
And if she was still in the house, then we'd have a different problem. When I did Matilda's Law, I never really explained this, but I had a back and forth with Chris on whether or not my mother should be at his house because he didn't want to leave her in the apartment alone, right? Nobody wants to leave their parent, an elderly person, in the apartment alone. And we went back and forth. I said, you're not doing her any favor. You have kids. They're coming in and out. They go out, play date. They come back. But luckily she wasn't there. And that's when I did Matilda's Law to make it clear to people you're not helping a loved one doing this. But he's going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. I talked to him. He still has a sense of humor. He says, even the dog won't come down the stairs. But, you know, he's so misunderstood, Chris. They see people through the dimension of their job, you know, and sure. He's on that CNN every night, and he's feisty, he's arguing, he's pushing back, and tough, he's combative. He is the most genuinely sweet, sensitive, really loving guy. He's just a beautiful human being. My father used to just delight in his in his sweetness, and he's big, and people think he's tough because he's so big. You know, he works out all the time. But he's just a really sweet, loving, beautiful person. And they don't see that part of him. And this kills him. You know, you say you can't touch your kid for 2 weeks, you know. Maybe you infected your kids. Maybe you infected your wife. Just on a very human level, it's miserable. It's just miserable.
Does he have symptoms?
He has a fever. He has shortness of breath. He has the chills. The shortness of breath is frightening to people. I was talking to a doctor the other day. He says a lot of people, the shortness of breath then brings on an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. You know, when you can't get a full breath, that can panic you. And then once you panic, now you have an anxiety attack, and now you're really off to the races. So he has, and we were talking about that this morning with Chris. I said, you know, yeah, that's what it is. But the only being able to take a shallow breath is very troubling. And so he has that, and he has a fever. And he was with people who tested positive afterwards. So he knows he was with positive people. And this damn thing just transfers so easily. And, you know, it's a reason I told the story at the press conference. Well, only people who are older, only people who are not in shape. You know, Christopher takes more vitamin pills per day than most people ingest in food, you know.
How about, I hate to say this, but how about you? You haven't been tested, at least according to press reports, you haven't been tested yourself. You've been spending a lot of time with a lot of people. I won't go out of my house, to be honest with you. You're doing it. Do you think you should test yourself?
No. Look, for me, it's simple. I don't meet the protocol for any testing, but it's also simple. And by the way, my health commissioner has advised me not to do what I do, and the state police have advised me not to do what I do. But I don't have a choice, really. It's not how I operate, right? I say to the National Guard every disaster that I've been out there with them, and I've been out there with them a lot. You know, I now recognize them by face. When you add up the Superstorm Sandys, the snowstorms, I say to them at the first meeting, I will never ask you to go anywhere that I won't go, and I'll never ask you to do anything that I won't do myself, whether it's shoveling 7 feet of snow in Buffalo or bailing out a basement on the south shore of Long Island. So that's how I have to do my job. If I get sick and I wind up having to stay quarantined in my office, well, that's where I would be if I followed their advice in the first place, right? Except I'd be sick. But I can't do it any other way, Alan.
Yeah, look, Governor, what if you, but if, let's say you develop the symptoms, let's say you get tested, let's say you have the thing, could you do what you're doing now? Is there a plan B? Would you do it from your house, from the mansion, and say, okay, nobody can touch me, but I'm going to do my job? How would you handle it?
Yeah, that's what I could do. I could go to some room and sit there. And look, Chris is still doing his show.
Oh, is he?
From his basement.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I could use, look, a lot of these governors, they all stay in their office and they just do it by video. I could do that. You know, if you're sick, depends how sick you get, right? You have a high fever, you know, maybe you don't want to, you're down for a few hours. But yeah, then I would just basically do the job like that. But unless you make me do it like that, also, I have a problem with the concept, police are going out there every day. Nurses are going out there every day. Nurses are going to these testing drive-throughs every day. Doctors are showing up every day. I'm the governor of the state. I'm going to say, I have to stay home. I'm afraid.
No, I get that. But I'm only asking you this very important question. If you develop the fever, if you develop the symptoms, because you certainly were articulated. I listened to every bit of it on radio this morning. It was unbelievable. If you develop the symptoms, and you've also told everybody to not be irresponsible about it, then you have to make a change, right? I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes. Be as responsible as you can be. The police officer still has to go out there and pull you over, still has to walk through a doorway to help a domestic violence victim. So be as responsible as you can be in the job. I'm being as responsible as I can be in my job the way I do it. I don't do it like some other governors do it. I understand that. But as I do it, I'm being as responsible as I can. And then if I get sick and I have to do it at home, I'll get a video, figure out how they touch the video, give me a little button nose, Alan, and make take the bags out of my eyes, maybe. I could even look better on the video, maybe.
That might be hard.
I didn't say look good. I said look better. I didn't say look good. I didn't set the bar that high.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you. Today is supposed to be budget day. You're supposed to have the New York State budget all rounded up. Anybody giving you trouble, or are they giving you a lot of leeway? I noticed you said let's keep it on topic this morning, meaning the coronavirus. But today's a big day. Ordinarily, this would be the sort of huge celebration of a budget on time. Is it going to be on time? Is it not going to be on time? Are there problems?
Look, yes, there are problems. The numbers are a problem.
Sure.
What you're asking a legislature to do is vote on a budget where the numbers are all bad news, right?
Right.
Normally, yeah, there's bad news, but there's some good news. Legislators are not accustomed to doing a budget where it's all bad news. Now, there are some policy items in there that are good news that people have been waiting for a long time.
For example?
I think, a lot of the policy initiatives that we have in there, the anti-terrorism legislation is in there. I haven't given up on all the policy that I went through back in January, but the numbers are the problem.
Yeah.
And the numbers are a problem.
So you haven't got the money. You haven't got the money.
That's right.
The cuts have got to come from somewhere. I think you made a little bit of news with us when we talked before about the money coming out of potentially education. Now, education's been the big kahuna, right? For all these years, we know how the game is played. The schools ask for a lot more. The legislature goes along and says, give them a lot more. You give them a little bit more. Can't do that this time, can you?
Can't do that. Cannot do that dance this time because there literally is no money. And that is a tough, tough vote for. It's a tough reality. But by the way, it's a tough reality. I mean, I have nothing else to say to them. When they say, this is really terrible. Yes, it's really terrible. The only thing I can say to them is it also reflects the reality that everybody is living. I mean, our unemployment claims, I can't even get the phone system and the internet to keep pace with the number of unemployment claims. So people get it. People get it, and I think they will respect the honesty of it. See, I argue it the other way with them. We paper over the cut and say, well, we're expecting that, the federal government is going to deliver a big chunk of cash to New York, even though the federal government has never delivered anything to New York in the past 4 years. We expect the economy is going to bounce back in a few months. I think that would be, first of all, it would be deceptive. I don't believe that. I don't think anybody believes that. And the credibility of our government is, look, we tell you the truth, whether it's good, bad, indifferent. And that is true, and I'm proud of that. And they're proud of that. They have told the public the truth. And this truth is an ugly, painful truth.
So are you going to be late with the budget?
I don't know. I'll tell you in about tell you about 10 hours.
And are you talking to them? I mean, what happens in this thing? They can't come into a room with you, right? I mean, they're in basic quarantine, too, the two leaders. It's not going to be three men in a room. It's not even going to be two men and a woman in the room. What are you going to do?
It's everything by telephone. This is a society without intimacy. This is we've moved to a society without physical contact and physical presence.
Are they scared to mess with you? I just saw a poll, astounding poll, I think, Sienna, which had you at something like 71% approval rating in New York State. That's huge. And coming up faster than the national polls. So, I'm not going to bother you with, presidential talk because I know you don't like it. And I'm not going to do it anymore, even though I just wrote a column how it could all work. So let's just assume for a second that you have a lot behind you. The speaker isn't at 71%. The majority leader isn't at, the Senate isn't at 71%. Does that give you a little extra oomph to work with?
I don't think so. Look, I've been at 71% before, right? And then I passed the gun law, which is one of my proudest accomplishments.
And
then I was no longer at 71%. Now, I don't think it works for them that way. You know, their politics are different. The education aid, they're worried about the teachers' union. They're worried about their local school districts. They're worried about their local community and what they bring home to their local community. That's more their politics than statewide politics. They represent district.
But it's got to come from somewhere. Obviously, we knew that there was a $6 billion shortfall. It was supposed to come out of the localities helping more with Medicaid. Obviously, that can't happen anymore, not with this coronavirus. So where's the money coming from?
They will acknowledge that intellectually. It's just practically, they don't want to go home and say, the cupboard is bare.
So what do they want to do?
That's the quandary. That's the dilemma that we're in. They get that there's no money. You know, nobody's arguing that we have a different perception of reality. The reality is the problem. And that's what... look, Carl and Andrea, the speaker and the Senate leader, they have to look at a conference and say, I know it's all bad news. And by the way, it's all bad news.
But I'm so sorry. I'm getting so frustrated here, which is that obviously the three of you and then the conferences have to come along and come up with a plan about how you're going to make up a deficit. New York State has to have a balanced budget, right? No chicanery. You got to have a balanced budget. So the money's got to come from somewhere.
Yes. And there is no realistic option. You could theoretically say, I believe the federal government is going to deliver $10 billion to New York State. And I believe they're going to do that in the next several months, and therefore I count $10 billion. You could say, I think the economy is going to bounce right back because this virus is going to be over in 5 weeks, and then the stock market's going to go right through the roof. I don't believe any of those things are plausible. Yeah, we're just left with a painful reality. And they get it. Look, Speaker Carl Heastie's a pro. Andrea Stewart-Cousins is a pro. It's just bad news. And politicians are not in the bad news business, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sorry to be so insistent. But where's it coming from? What do you got? I mean, you're the governor. You got to make the proposal. It's your budget. Is it going to come out of education? Will it come out of education big? Will it be a cut in education? Will it be we're not giving you any extra like we do every year? It can't come out of Medicaid, obviously, not with what we got now. Where's it coming from?
My proposal, which has never been done before, but is sort of the ultimate honesty. This is where we are today. And we close the budget at this. Mm-hmm. If we get more money, the economy bounces back, the federal government delivers a lot of money, we will increase the budget, and we'll do it quarterly.
Right.
If the economy goes the other way, we'll cut the budget, and we'll do it quarterly.
That gives you a lot of power, doesn't it? I mean, now you have the power to basically ongoing. You don't have to come in with the big ugly the budget. You can now say, you know, every quarter you can say, I'm the governor and this is what I've determined.
Yeah, no, I'd let them be part of it. As a matter of fact, I'd let them do it. You think they want to come back here every quarter and cut the budget?
They don't want to come back now. Yeah.
Yeah, and they certainly don't want to come back and cut a budget. That I can promise you.
Okay, so let me go upstate a little bit. Albany Med has a lot of people who are testing positive on the staff. And that's the big kuna. I mean, that's the big... place. And so you've got a balance between what's going on in New York City and what's going on upstate. You may want to borrow some people from upstate and send them downstate. I heard your remarks this morning. But, of course, this is now a matter of allocation of resources, isn't it?
That is going to be the $64,000 question on all of this. It's going to happen nationwide. It is going to be an overwhelming of our hospital systems. That's what this is going to come down to. It's not going to be any fancier or more complex than that. Your hospitals will not be able to keep pace with the number of people coming through the door, and the first collapse is going to be the staff. The staff will get sick. The staff will be overwhelmed. I can't tell you how many nurses say to me, besides the physical fatigue. I'm emotionally fatigued. It's too much. The fear is too high. I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. I'm afraid I'm going to bring it home. These patients are all in terrible condition. Remember, this virus is so vicious. It attacks the weakest people. So the people who get into trouble the first are the people who had serious problems. That's why they're all intubated so quickly. Who had cancer, who had emphysema, who had heart disease, who had cancer. And then this disease hits them, and now they're in serious trouble right away. You know, nobody's walking in the door anymore with a sprained ankle, with a knife wound. It's walking in the door with emphysema and overweight and 67 years old, and they have to be intubated.
So let me just ask you about this budget thing one more time. Marijuana, you wanted it in the budget. You're going to get it?
We're not going to get there. I don't believe we get there. I don't believe we get there because, in truth, that is something that had to be talked through and worked through. And the legislature wasn't here. I was doing this COVID virus. That requires time to do it right, Alan. You know, that is not a yes, no. That's a how does it work? How about the police? How many licenses? Who gives out the licenses? How do you do minority empowerment? How do we coordinate with Connecticut and New Jersey? And no one has really had the time to work those things through. So I don't think we get there on that.
Okay, let me go to another place. I don't know that you and I have ever talked to. Yeah, we have, I think. There was a question as to whether, in order to get on the ballot, a third party had to get a certain amount of signatures. The legislature and you went along with that, came together on that. You came up with a whole bunch of new signatures, which we think was going to make the Working Families Party basically at risk. Now somebody writes me a letter and says, ask him whether or not he's going to put that in the budget. He's allowed to put that in the budget to become law, since the Court of Appeals of New York State said that was illegal to do it the way that it had been done. What do you got?
I don't even remember a Court of Appeals decision on that.
Really?
So, yeah. So I would have to check.
I would have to check too, because God forbid I get that wrong. But you're
worse
not,
for me if I get it wrong.
But you're not going to put it in the budget, right? I mean, you wouldn't. That's not really a budgetary item, is it?
Yeah, I don't. Again, I'll check. I don't even remember the Court of Appeals doing anything on anything in this topic. But I may be wrong. I've been focused on different things.
Amazon's fired a worker who led a walkout on Staten Island on Monday, claiming inadequate safety measures. That's the workers saying, and insufficient pay during the pandemic. Are you worried about this happening in other sectors that are deemed essential to the pandemic?
Well, the firing of the worker. We have labor laws. If a labor law was violated in the firing, that's something that we'll investigate. I'm worried about people getting sick, essential workers getting sick. I'm worried about essential workers getting scared and not wanting to show up. That I'm worried about. You know, the number of police officers who are getting sick is going up. And we have basic social functions that have to continue, right? We have to move people. There has to be transportation. There has to be law and order. There has to be food. There has to be water. So you don't lose your mind. The internet has to work. And the more people who get sick or frightened, the harder that gets. So I'm very concerned about that.
I have to say, Governor, that, you know, we are trying to avoid a certain subject. And I know you talked to Christopher about this, and I know that you've told me about this. But there is a certain amount of demand out there that you be the candidate either for president or vice president. I know you can get angry, and I don't want to get you necessarily angry at me. But you know, if duty calls, you've talked about duty as governor. If the United States needs you, why not?
I don't get angry. I just
you
talk
get
about
even.
Chris.
No.
Look, in his job, in my job, if I did not fight for what I believe in, Alan, if I did not fight with the legislature to pass a piece of legislation that I believe in, if I didn't fight for a budget on time, if I didn't fight to get airports built, I would be a failure. I mean, they want to have it both ways. Oh, you have he has sharp elbows. What do you think? I'm playing cricket here? What do you think? You think you pass marriage equality without working hard as hell? You think you pass $15 minimum wage? You think you pass every budget on time?
I'm sorry, and that has to do. And how does that have to do with running for president or vice, accepting it if offered? If offered, you would.
Because I'm avoiding your question, and I was responding to the first half, which was.
Yeah.
I know you get angry. I chose to respond to that part of the question.
You
can't ask a question with two parts because then I will pick the part that I prefer. You asked a two-part question. I took part A.
Well, so you did. Anyway, Governor Andrew Cuomo, I'm going to say something which is going to get my colleagues, my friends, maybe a few of them, to say you shouldn't have said that, but I think you're doing a hell of a job, and it's extraordinary. When you were on this morning, I had a lump in my throat. I know that's too much to say, but I want to thank you for what you're doing, and thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. It means a great deal to all of us.
I want to thank you for what you're doing, and I want to thank you, Alan, for the years that I've spent listening to you and learning from you. Even when I didn't like what I heard, I learned from you.
I appreciate that so much. Governor, we hope we'll see you again, and thanks for making this time for us. I so appreciate it.
Be safe, be smart. Be safe, be smart, please, everyone.
You too.
Thanks.